From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Sacramento woke up one step closer to learning who their elected leaders will be in the new year. The early ballot returns are very preliminary, and some are close races. The city races on the ballot were for Sacramento mayor, city council districts, and Measure C, which is a tax increase for businesses. In a moment, we're going to be joined by Mayor Daryl Steinberg to discuss the outcome of the primary. But first, we're going to kick things off with Cap Radio Sacramento government report. Kristen Lamb with the latest on these city races. Hey, Kristen.
Good morning, Vicky.
Okay.
Afternoon.
I've made that mistake many times. We used to be live at 9 a.m. Okay, so let's start off with the mayoral race. Before we dive in to the specifics of what the early returns show, what stands out to you about what the returns are showing so far?
Things are really close. It'll take weeks before we have a clearer picture. And, you know, it's looking like there could definitely be a November runoff.
So what do the latest returns show?
Out of about 33,000 votes counted, the four major candidates each have numbers in the 7,000 to 8,000 vote range. Right now, Dr. Richard Pan leads by just four votes over Steve Hansen, followed by Kevin McCarty and Dr. Flo Kofer.
Yeah, I mean, just to emphasize how close this race is, less than 24 hours after polls have closed for the primary, the gap between the candidate currently in first, Dr. Pan, and the candidate currently in fourth, Dr. Kofer, is like roughly 800 votes. That's not really a lot. This was a race that could be decided on the primary if a candidate were to receive more than 50% of the vote. Is that still a possibility?
It doesn't seem likely that someone will win outright with this primary election, but the newsroom will keep a close eye on the results updates these next few weeks.
Yeah, that's what you're here for. There are also competitive city council races as well. Let's start off with District 4. This is currently held by council member Katie Valenzuela. This district includes the city center as well as East Sacramento. How is this race shaping up?
So far, there's been about 5,700 votes counted. Challenger Phil Pluckybaum has a roughly 1,100 vote lead over incumbent Katie Valenzuela. Even though he has a 19% lead right now, there are still thousands of votes to count, so not over yet.
When Katie Valenzuela won the city council seat the last time, the district looked different. How did redistricting potentially shape the constituents, or it did shape the change in constituents for this district?
Yeah, so when she first won election in March of 2020, District 4 included Land Park, but now it includes East Sac and the River District. Some folks might recall that former council member Jeff Harris used to represent those areas that are new to the district, but of course it still does include the downtown and midtown areas. And this was the first District 4 election since redistricting following the 2020 census. It's also worth noting that there was more than one attempt to gather signatures to recall Valenzuela, and there was questions over whether people in East Sacramento could sign that petition.
Mm. You had a busy night last night. You were at watch parties for both of the leading candidates in this race. What were the main differences, just to remind people, between Katie Valenzuela and Phil Pluckybaum?
So this council races, they're nonpartisan offices, but Valenzuela is a progressive, while Pluckybaum told me that he identifies as a pragmatic Democrat. He's definitely to the right of Valenzuela, especially on homelessness. But he pushed back when I asked him if he agrees that he's more conservative on homelessness. Here's what he told me last night.
I don't know what it means to be conservative or liberal on homelessness. I do know that I feel a great sense of compassion for people that are not able to, find housing, whether it's because they've been priced out of the market or they have some other barrier to housing. What I think we need to do as a community is, with compassion, provide every opportunity for everyone that's experiencing homelessness to get off the street. And then I am also willing to, as a part of that strategy, use our enforcement capability as an incentive for them to want to take those opportunities. Obviously, no one has a right to live on the streets, and we don't want them to. So the goal is to, with compassion, provide opportunities for housing voluntarily.
In comparison, Valenzuela has pushed for moving funding from the police department to the Department of Community Response for homeless calls for service. She also opposed Measure O, the Emergency Shelter and Enforcement Act of 2022. And when it comes to campaign finances, she didn't take corporate money. In comparison, Plucky Bomb received a ton of developer money, including from out of the city. It's worth noting that Valenzuela has advocated for renter protections and requiring developers to build affordable housing. Here's what Valenzuela told me last night.
Yeah, I mean, I was really proud to be the only candidate in this district who didn't take corporate money. That does make it harder because that means you're working grassroots, you're working with the Democratic Party, you're working with the unions that support you. But we worked really hard for every single dollar we got. And the opposition attacks on us, I mean, there was development companies from as far away as Texas funding some of those ads. I mean, it was just insane. It's something that even my campaign consultants had to do a double take on and said, wait, what? So I think it was an incredible and really just really nasty campaign against us. So, you know, we're really, really good about the fact that we ran a race that really aligns with my values and the values, I think, of District 4 broadly.
Okay, so that is the race for District 4. We still got to wait on that. Let's move over to District 2. That seat is currently vacant following the resignation of Sean Lalowey, which follows a federal indictment against him. This district includes Del Paso Heights, North Sacramento, other neighborhoods as well. There were a lot of candidates in this race. What do early returns suggest? What do they look like?
Yeah, so it's unclear if Roger Dickinson can avoid a runoff. The former state assembly member and former Sacramento County supervisor has 44% of about 2,000 votes counted so far. Behind him are real estate agent Stephen Walton at 14% and retired Grant Union High School vice principal Kim Davey at 12%. Like you said, it's a crowded field, 9 candidates total. If no one gets more than 50%, the council plans to appoint someone to temporarily fill the vacancy until December.
What about District 6? This includes Tahoe Park and Colonial Heights.
Eric Guerra could be heading to a third full term if the rest of the ballots are consistent with these early results. He's held the seat since winning a special election in 2015. Coincidentally, that's when Kevin McCarty left the seat for the state assembly. Guerra is leading with 66% of roughly 4,200 votes counted. He has 3 challengers. Plumbing contractor Kevin Rooney trails behind Guerra right now with 17%, then real estate agent Casey Shuft with 12%.
Are city council races the same as the mayoral race? If one candidate doesn't get more than 50%, does this move to a November runoff?
Yep. Yes. The top 2 candidates would face off. And if these early result percentages hold as more ballots are counted, we might only have the District 2 race in November with the mayoral, but there are still thousands of ballots to be counted.
Finally, last on the ticket, if you can update us on Measure C, that is a tax increase for businesses in the city if it's approved by voters.
Yeah, so that's the update to the business operations tax. Right now, no votes are at about 61%. Again, still very early results. We'll be watching them in the weeks to come. This measure only needs a simple majority vote to pass. And if it does, it would adjust the tax for inflation for the first time since 1991. But the city has gotten a lot of heat over not following one of its own rules related to giving public notice about the measure. Within 10 days of November 14th, the city was supposed to publish an ordinance in a newspaper it gives legal notices in, called the Sacramento Bulletin. But the city didn't publish the notice in that newspaper until early February, after the SACB editorial board asked about it. Mayor Daryl Steinberg has said that the city made a mistake in the process, but that it wasn't attempting to mislead. It's worth noting that the city did post the ordinance on its website and also held several public hearings about the measure before the council voted to put it on the ballot. I was watching those and reported on them. And also, the mayor has said during a recent budget discussion about the projected $50 million deficit that he thought that he thinks that the measure might fail.
Yep, but we'll get to that in just a moment. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Cap Radio Sacramento government reporter Kristen Lamb about early primary returns for city races. Now we're going to bring in Sacramento Mayor Daryl Steinberg. Thanks for making the time, Mayor Steinberg.
Glad to be here with both of you.
So I'm thinking that you put on a documentary, watched a movie last night.
I watched a double feature. Actually, no, I was out in the community going to a lot of the parties, but with much less stress than when I was on the ballot myself. But it's election night is always special.
What? How did it feel like? I mean, this is the first time in a while without your name on a ballot.
I will admit it felt a little bit odd to not be on the ballot. But, you know, I have a sense of accomplishment, more to come over these next 9 months, and a little bit of a sense of relief. I think there's a season for everything in life. And I think in these executive positions, at least quasi-executive positions, that 8 years is a good long time.
Let's start off with the mayoral race. Who will replace you once your term completes? As Kristen laid out, as it stands today, it is a very close race between four candidates. Is this something that you expected? You know them well.
I thought it would be close. And by the way, if anyone ever says that one's vote does not matter, the first place candidate is ahead by 4 votes and to the second place candidate, and every vote matters. I'm not surprised. All four, I think, are very good candidates who either ran really good campaigns or have a track record of serving the people. But it is, I believe that the city is largely united. And yet there is a political division between candidates. And let's take Steve Hansen and Richard Pan, who campaigned more on a law and order platform, a little bit more centrist or even slightly to the right. And then you have Kevin McCarthy, who more center-left, and Dr. Cofer, who ran as a true progressive candidate. So here's what's interesting. Depending on how the election comes out, and we have a lot of counting left to do, but if it is the two business candidates who end up in the runoff, they're going to have to then find a way to appeal to over 40% of the electorate who voted for the progressive and center-left candidate. And of course, if the opposite is true, if it's Dr. Cofer and Kevin McCarthy, which is possible, they're then going to have to figure out how they appeal in the general election to the 40%+ of voters who voted for a more business-oriented candidate. And it could be one from each of the camps, in which case you'd have a more, you know, traditional labor progressive versus business contest, which is important for Sacramento. And so I'm glad to see a competitive race. I'm glad to see that people care, although, you know, voter turnout of 13% is discouraging to me, and March may have something to do with it, but we will see what happens. I think there's no such thing anymore as election night. It's now election month. And yeah. We just have to get used to that.
Right. I mean, and you haven't just been mayor for two terms. You also were in the state legislature representing this area. You've lived in Sacramento for quite a while now. You understand the dynamics of the city. When you became mayor both terms, you earned this during the primary. It didn't go off to a November runoff.
It did.
What do you think is different about the dynamics within the city about this election compared to your mayoral races?
Well, when I ran for mayor, against Senator Ashby, who's my good friend. She was council member at the time. We were really the only two strong candidates. In this instance, you have four strong candidates. And so I think it's much tougher to get to 50% plus one. I don't think anybody predicted that someone would win this outright in the primary. So that is not a surprise. And it's not a surprise that it's closely stacked among the four candidates. What is going to be fascinating is when whoever the two are that come out of it, will it be a traditional, again, progressive labor versus business race? Or will it be two business candidates? Or will it be two labor progressive candidates? And then, as I said earlier, how do you appeal to the rest of the electorate? Because that is good politics. And frankly, when you become mayor, as I've done this job for the last 7 years, you can have whatever ideology you want, but your real job is to work with everyone and try to bring as much consensus as possible on difficult issues. I mean, on homelessness. I like what Phil Pluckybaum said, that in this city, we need to increase our capacity to help people. And we need to do so with the county because we are not a health and human services agency. We don't do mental health or substance abuse. We've done well. When I started, less than 100 beds, now 1,350 a night and more coming. But the need is even greater. At the same time, it is appropriate to say that when we offer somebody help, you have to accept it. You can't live out on the streets. It's not good. It's not healthy for the individual, and certainly it isn't for the community. So I just think our job as leaders, and certainly the next mayor, is to make sure that we don't become polarized, that we find the center. And maybe it's a little center left in this city, because I think that's what this city is. But people want solutions. They want real progress. And it takes somebody who can bring the political factions together. And I look forward to helping whoever that is next December.
And that brings me to my next question. You haven't endorsed a mayoral candidate. Do you anticipate you will do so if there is a November runoff, which it looks like there will be?
I may. I certainly leave that option open, but I want to wait and see what the result is and who the actual top two are. I mean, I've watched the campaigns closely, and I think that when you're running for office, you always have to say how you're going to do it differently than the last person, and I hope and expect the next person will be better than I am. On the other hand, I reject this idea, well, the city is all broken and there's a lot of failure. No. I mean, we've done remarkably well, especially during these historically challenging times, COVID, the rightful racial reckoning with George Floyd. More people are investing in the city than ever before, more affordable housing, more housing starts than ever before, Aggie Square, more prospects for the rail yards and the waterfront. All of this is more music, more art, more culture, more festivals. This city has had its challenges. We've worn them well. And I think we are poised for a great future. So what I want to see in any candidate is a realistic assessment of our challenges. Yes, how you would do it different and better, but also a sense of optimism about the future, because I think that's what the people want.
I'm curious what your thoughts are on Measure C and also Prop 1, and we can start with them individually. But I do see a theme among both of them because they involve money. Measure C is a proposed tax increase on businesses, something that hasn't been done in over 30 years. Prop 1 is a continuation of your Mental Health Services Act that you authored two decades ago, also involves a price tag as well, a $6.4 billion bond. Both of these are not slam dunks for voters. What does this signal to you?
Well, I think Measure C, well-intended, and again, as Kristen said, this is a city business tax that hasn't been updated in over 30 years. And yet I think it was misbegotten for the March ballot, low voter turnout, and there was this filing mistake. And I think it was not meant to be. So it doesn't surprise me. And I did say it before the election, which I've rarely done. I don't think it's going to pass because I didn't. And it didn't and it won't. And so we move on. Fortunately, our budget is not dependent on it. Although we have a deficit, it would have helped. But we're going to balance the budget without it. Maybe in the future, the next council mayor will want to consider trying this again, maybe in a different way. On Prop 1, which I really care deeply about because it is so foundational to my work, I'm hopeful that the votes are going to move in a positive direction, and it's up now, it's not down, and that we're going to win. I'm very grateful to the governor because I could have never dreamt back 20 years ago we'd have a governor in this state who would make mental health a top-tier priority, and I think this initiative is essential to focusing the money on where the need is the greatest. But what does it say? Well, first of all, March primary's tough when you have low voter turnout. And then people are wary of anything dealing with finances. That's right. People are having a tough time. And even though Proposition 1 is a new bond paid for by the general fund and is just a redistribution of the existing 1% tax on millionaires that we passed in 2004, I just think people are a little bit hesitant. But I still hope it's going to pass and that we will have this change to help to get more people off of our streets and respond to a real crisis in California.
Last 15 seconds that we have, are we going to see your name on another ballot in the future?
Well, I would never say never. You may see my name on the ballot, but I am looking forward to just a little bit of a respite and a reflection. And as I said, there are many good and great things to do in life that serve people, and politics is certainly one of them, but not the only one.
Sacramento Mayor Daryl Steinberg, thank you for the time.
Thank you, Vicki.
Up next, we're going to get a look at statewide races, including U.S. Senate and the fate of Prop 1. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.